He's also a faculty participant at CIRELT, a very large institute devoted to transportation research in Canada. He actually served as director of that formerly for 8 years. Professor Zantrow is an authority on essentially applying exact metaheuristic optimization methods to study problems in the areas of transportation planning and scheduling, design and operation of logistics systems, and he has published widely. He has authored 6 books, more than 300 journal papers. They have received an excess of 25,000 citations, just to give you perspective. He just stepped down, actually, as the chief editor of the Journal of Transportation Science, of Informs, and he has been widely recognized for his work. Very selectively, I'm going to mention the Merit Award of the Canadian Operational Research Society, being a fellow of Informs, and more recently, being honored with the Robert Herman Lifetime Achievement Award of the TSL Society. The TSL Society is the Informs Society in charge of transportation research. With that, it's a great pleasure to have you over, and we look forward to your talk. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for the nice introduction. So the topic of the day is approaches for tackling dynamic vehicle routing problems. In fact, this is a talk that goes back in the past up to more than 20 years. We'll tell you a little bit more about this little history of this stream of research. But before that, I'd like to acknowledge a number of co-authors. First and foremost, my colleague Jean-Yves Potvin, who has been an accomplice in almost all of this research. Soumya Ishua was a former PhD student, a group of people with whom we did a lot of work in the early days. Other students, former PhD students, Marianne Tagmuti, Nabila Azzi, then German friends. Yeah, Phil Chi is German. Don't let yourself be misled by the Italian name. And then friends in France and many more. So the outline of the talk is I'll give a short introduction, and then I'll present what is ultimately a simple approach for tackling those problems, and then I'll spend more time about dealing with some issues, and then I'll go through a series of problems that are more complicated than the original problem that I'll start from. So basically, what is dynamic VRP? It's really an extension of classical vehicle routing problems that have been introduced more than 50 years ago, going back to Danzig and Ramser in 1959, and which have attracted hundreds and hundreds of papers in operations research journals and in other venues. I think at some point in time, people were thinking about maybe renaming transportation science to be the vehicle routing journal, because more than 40% of the papers that were published in transportation science had to do with vehicle routing. So here, the situation is that not all of the problem data is deterministic, but it's not even known in advance. And the notion of not known in advance might be that it might be very fuzzy. It might not have been really information which has been structured in through stochastic processes or probability distributions. But what is more important is that the routes that we're going to be building have to be updated as they are being performed. So the trucks are on the road and the algorithm is running on the computer. And those are two concurrent processes. So what is the main information which is usually divulged over time? Well, it is, in fact, the set of requests that the vehicle have to service. But there could be other options. For example, one could decide to deal with vehicle breakdowns, changes in traffic conditions, or maybe also customer demand. So we may have a situation where we may know that there's a customer request somewhere, but we have not a clear idea of what is the level of demand of the customer. Now, this type of problem has become important in recent years for several reasons. First thing, obviously, the development of all the global positioning system machinery. Then, obviously, having two-way communication devices with drivers, so, for example, smartphones, but could be other devices. Something which is really important is, in fact, the increase of computing power. Having much more powerful computers helps a lot in this area, as well as algorithmic developments. So, usually people focus on two key dimensions. One of them is information evolution. So we distinguish problems in which the input is known beforehand, and those are static problems, and problems where the input changes over time, and those are the dynamic problems that I just defined. Furthermore, we can distinguish between information quality, so either we have certain deterministic input or stochastic input. And really, in real-life application, one could encounter any of the four combinations, and the DVRPs that we are interested in are those that correspond to a situation where the input changes over time. So if we're looking, if we're trying to make connections between those dynamic vehicle routing problems and the literature on stochastic or robust vehicle routing problems, one has to remark that if we're looking at those stochastic VRPs, they really correspond in general to the static and stochastic case of the taxonomy. So they are different from what we see as those dynamic problems. And I would say the former remark would apply especially when we're looking at the a priori optimization paradigm in stochastic vehicle routing. And for those who are interested in stochastic vehicle routing, I'm going to do a little sales job. I can refer you to chapter 8 in the last edition of the Thought and Vehicle book on the vehicle routing. So that deals exactly with this topic. And if we're looking at robust routing models, well, usually they are defined in this static and stochastic setting. Now, typical applications of where one will encounter dynamic vehicle routing problems. Well, a very interesting application is local pickup for long-distance courier companies. So basically, the FedEx and DHL of this world, when locally they are picking up envelopes and small parcels from people who want to send them far away. Then the second application is local pickup and delivery of similar type of objects, so those express courier companies. If we're looking at, I would say, larger objects, there is the whole issue of the local pickup of orders for less than truckload companies, where basically within the local territory they're going to send smaller trucks to bring this to really their kind of major depot for sending the trucks. Now, also, if we're looking at, for example, handicapped transportation, so a lot of work related to dial-a-ride problems, and also traveling repairman problems. So I have worked on a number of applications in this type. A lot of those repairman problems have to do with demand which is known in advance, But there are applications where, in fact, the service contract is such that, I mean, companies will come during the, will call during the day, say, oh, I have, for example, a photocopy machine, which is them, and could you come and service it today? And sometimes that that's the way it's done. And this typical application, we could look at, for example, dispatching winter maintenance vehicles. So we were looking at a very interesting, and I'll talk a little bit about this later, a very interesting application in the context of spreading salt on highways when there are events of freezing rain. And it's really a matter of trying to be at the right place at the right time. I'll tell you a little more about this when we come to this and those other problems, which we will try to cover if time allows. There are also some related fleet management problems. So we've been working for many years about trying to manage fleets of ambulances in real time. So again, you have the same idea that you're managing the fleet and the requests are coming all the time. You could extend this to taxis if you wanted. But this is different. I'd like to emphasize the difference with so-called dynamic vehicle allocation problems that have to do with managing fleets of truckload trucks and containers and similar things, which have a kind of a different time scale. So one big issue in this area is the whole question of how do we measure dynamism, and dynamism has been in fact related to two dimensions. The first one is the frequency of changes. How much new information do I receive as I proceed? And the second one has to do with the urgency of requests. So back in the mid-1990s, was a group in Denmark who defined, in fact, this idea of degree of dynamism, which is just a ratio between the number of dynamic requests over the total number of requests, let's say, processed over a working day. So this vehicle will end up servicing 80 requests, and out of those, 60 were known beforehand, so only 20 were dynamic, so this would be like 25%. Then Larson, later on, proposed the idea of an effective degree of dynamism, so this would be a normalized average of the request disclosure time. It's not the fact that requests are dynamic, but when are they disclosed. And this whole idea of the level of urgency has to do with, in fact, the reaction time which is available to service a request, which is the difference between the service time minus the disclosure time. And this has a big impact on the difficulty of the problem. So I'm going to present to you a very simple approach that we started working on 20-odd years ago. And this was part on a large project in which we were trying to develop solution approaches for... in fact, we were trying to see how parallel computing could help in solving transportation problems. And I ended up being in charge of a sub-project which had to deal with fleet management. And there were two parts in this sub-project. One had to do with ambulance management and the other one with courier operations. And at the start of the problem, at the start of the project, we just decided to split the team in two parts, and but I told the team, okay, I'm going to come up with a general comprehensive model of those things. And I thought about really developing some kind of formal mathematical model of the whole thing. And after 3 months of unsuccessful work, I just realized that I was putting the whole thing in jeopardy and that I had to give up. So we just gave up and we decided that we would not proceed with a comprehensive model of the problem, but that instead we would try to do something practical. And the way to do this something practical was that we would just focus on solving, and here I mean continuously, and I mean it, it's continuously, it would be a series of related static problems. And the static problems are extremely simple. In fact, they are based on the currently available information. And we just update this as we go. So let me illustrate this on, for example, the local pickup for long-distance courier companies. So we're looking at here local pickup-only operations. And we have customers who contact, well, here it says phone, but maybe we could update this thing now. But contact a dispatch center, and they ask for the pickup of small parcel or envelopes. And for each request, we have a location, early pickup time, which is a rigid constraint, and then some kind of latest pickup time, which could be flexible if we allow lateness penalties. Since we're looking just at small objects, we don't have any capacity constraints. And what we want the vehicles to return to the depot before some fixed time. So the idea is that we have a plane, for example, that is going to be leaving to bring this to some kind of hub, and there's a fixed departure time for the plane, so all the trucks have to come back early enough to transfer their content to the plane. And because of that, we allow to turn down requests. So the idea is turning down the request means either letting the competition have it or just delaying this to the next day. Okay, because we don't want to have late arrivals at the depot. So our solution strategy, as I said, is pretty straightforward. Is we're going to be maintaining what we call a current best solution. And this is just, it's a set of routes that service all accepted requests. And the assumption is that each vehicle is either servicing a request at any given point in time or is moving towards the first unserviced request in its planned route. And for the time being, just suppose that this cannot be changed. So the static problem that we're looking at, in fact, is a vehicle routing problem with soft time windows, well, a rigid one at the depot, and some additional constraints. And when do we have to modify the static problem? Well, in fact, whenever we accept a new request or when a vehicle completes a pickup. So just an illustration of what we have here. Here we have two routes. We have some movements that have been already executed. We have some movements that are currently being performed, and then planned movements. And suppose now that while we're doing this, we receive a new request, and we want to see what we can do about this request. Well, we will try to insert it in one of the two routes, and we will accept the request. So we will try inserting in the planned route, not those current movements, and we will accept if this doesn't delay us too much. Okay, so how do we proceed to solve this static problem? Well, obviously we could just do as I mentioned, we could just insert new requests. But in fact, there's a lot more that we can do. We can look at all kinds of heuristics. to see how we can improve the solution to this problem. And obviously, the thing about this is that if we use simple heuristics, well, they are cheap to implement, but obviously the results are not so fantastic. And at that time, what we did is we even developed some kind of parallel taboo search that was implemented on a parallel platform. And this was a fairly involved thing, so because we had geographical decomposition and we had also multiple search threads on the whole problem. So this was a kind of challenging level of exposition. We have the neighborhood operator in the taboo search is the so-called cross-exchange, in fact, which was developed for this project. So now you may read in the vehicle routing literature people who talk about this cross-exchange operator. They don't even give reference, but it comes from this project. So we just have two routes, and for example, we're going to be exchanging some section of those two routes and then continue with the previous one. So what are the nice features of this operator? Well, first thing, we preserve the orientation of the routes, and this is quite important. It covers a number of previous operators that have been defined in the literature. But there's a problem, and this is how do we deal with the time windows? Because if we have lateness penalties, how are we going to evaluate those lateness penalties? This is not so obvious. So as for the decomposition, it's based on old work of Eric Taya, and it just involves partitioning, in fact, the problem space, the geographical space into sectors, and to look at smaller sub-problems. Then we have some adaptive memory. So what is adaptive memory? Well, it's just that we're going to build a pool of routes from previous good solutions, and eventually we use this to recreate new tentative solutions from times to times, and those will allow for pretty effective exploration of the solution space. And also we have a parallel implementation, but that's not very important. And I'm just going to show you some results on some simple computational experiments that were based on Solomon problems with 50% of requests known beforehand. And we look at a whole bunch of computing heuristics, so simple insertion, reconstruction of route upon arrival of the request, and also just inserting requests and then doing some descents based on the cross-exchange heuristic. Now, one thing which is important in a problem like that is that we have several metrics. We don't have only one objective function that we're optimizing, because in fact we are concerned about route length, but we are also concerned about penalties, and we're concerned also about rejected requests. So here is some typical computational results. And you see here the different types of methods, and you see that it pays to invest in a sophisticated solution technique compared to just performing simple insertion. So working hard on those problems pays. Okay, we moved to another application that had to do with local pickup and delivery. The problem about local pickup and delivery is we have really now two locations. We have a pickup location and a delivery location, and we must be sure that a vehicle that goes and picks up something will deliver it. So both pickup and location for any given request must be in the same route. Okay, so this approach here, we allow some overtime because it's a local problem, so we don't have a rigid time window at the depot, and we serve all requests, so we don't have any penalties for unserved requests. So it's pretty much similar to what we did before. I'm gonna be skipping those things because I want to really focus on more important material later on, but it's there in the slide, so those who are interested can have a chance to look at this. So we're using a completely different technique for exchanging, for modifying the routes, so based on ejection chain and a pretty complex technique for inserting requests into routes. So again, adaptive memory, and we have computational experiments. In that case, we didn't have any good problems, benchmark problems to which we could relate, so we had to create some kind of abstract C-tree setting and to generate instances ourselves and to create some kind of simulator to handle this. So again, we have pretty much the same solution strategies, and the results were that we can use some kind of adaptive descent, but taboo search is again the best one. Okay, now let's move on to other issues which will come to mind when looking at this class of problem. And we're going to be looking at three issues. One of them is diversion, then I'm going to talk about time-dependent travel times, and then having some information on future demands. So the big issue of diversion is that what happens if when a vehicle is traveling here from point D to point B, there is a request that just pops up at A. So the idea was that in the previous application, we would just say, well, no way, we are driving up to B, and then we will be considering A as a tentative location. But here the question is, well, maybe if I could just integrate this in my planning process, I could do better and just do a slight detour and continue. And in fact, it goes further than this, is that one thing we realize is that we should not only look at small detours. Sometimes knowing that we have this request at A would prompt a significant modification of the solution. In fact, knowing now that this guy is at A and needs to be visited, there is a much better way to, well, a much better, a significantly better way of organizing the planned routes. Now, what is the issue? Well, the key issue is here, is if I want to assess properly diversion opportunities, I need computing time. I need to explore a number of solutions and find the best one, and this will require time, and then I must project myself in time to assess the diversion correctly. Okay, because if I'm going to take 10 seconds to make this assessment, what I have to think about is not where I'm now, is where I'm going to be 10 seconds from now. So we need to project ourselves to the time t plus delta t, and the key factor is, what is the proper value for this delta t? And so we spent quite a bit of time looking at different rules for setting delta t. So maybe just looking at what is the next time at which we're going to be servicing a vehicle. And this, we found that this was too restrictive. We looked at some fraction of the moving average of recent inter-arrival times. or we try to compute some value based on the number of requests that we have served over some time horizon. And we went back to pretty much the Solomon benchmark problems, and those are the same problems that we use. And we said, okay, let's see what happens. And one thing that we found out is that, in fact, diversion is useful. Using the information is worth it. And, in fact, the third rule, where we're just trying to get some idea of what is the number of events over some time period, is much more effective. So, one problem solved. Time-dependent travel times. Well, obviously, anybody who pays attention knows that travel times in cities are not constant during the day. And in fact, a lot of the vehicle routing literature is based on this assumption, which is wrong. So, which is unfortunate. And there's been a proposition in the literature from the early 90s about using different values for travel time. Unfortunately, this leads to inconsistencies, and in fact, it leads to a violation of the first-in, first-out assumption. So if I have two vehicles departing from a given point to the same destination, let's say 5 minutes apart, if I have a big change, a big reduction in travel time, the second vehicle may end up arriving before the first one. This is very annoying. So what we proposed was instead to use different values of travel speeds, and then we would just look at travel speed during the day and time period. And what we did was we just integrated this back in the solution approach that we had. And the results on this one are very, very significant. Using proper travel time, travel speeds, leads to greatly improved solutions. Now, for those who are interested into this topic, I'm going to keep on doing my little publicity. Together with a couple of Italian friends, we just published, was it last year, 2 years ago, a survey in Computers and OR on time-dependent vehicle routing. And so if the topic seems interesting to you, I strongly advise you look at this survey. Okay, integrating future demands. Okay, one of the things which is extremely annoying with those computer-based routing dispatching systems is that you know that with respect to certain decisions that are made by human dispatchers, you are not doing as well. And what happens? What happens is that human dispatchers have lots of things in their head when they're making decisions. And they have some intuitive idea of demand patterns in the city and things like that, so that they will never make the mistake of, for example, sending off all their vehicles outside of the downtown area at 3 o'clock on a Friday afternoon, because they know that they're going to get a bunch of requests later on. So they're going to be holding vehicles. And basically what we tried to do is we tried to find a way to emulate this behavior into the algorithms that we have. So how can we replicate this behavior? Well, obviously the idea would be to use statistical information about demand patterns. And this is easy to do. If a vehicle completes a service request and there's no close request to service, what we'd like is we'd like to hold the vehicle at its current location as long as the expected demand within this neighborhood and a small time horizon is large enough. And so we implemented this And the results are that this is something useful to do if you can integrate in some demand on some information on demand. You can do better, not a lot better, but still significantly better. So that's worth doing. Now, let me tell you about some more involved problems. The first one is a strange problem that's just about to disappear because papers are already starting to disappear. And it's a problem that comes from a very specific environment in Germany, which is the fact that in Germany, people subscribe to newspaper and they expect to receive their paper in the morning, as we all do. But the difference is that if they don't have their paper, then they get really mad. And they phone the newspaper editor and they complain loudly. And they want their paper. Okay, now. So what German newspaper have done in a routine fashion is they will have fleets of vehicles that are driving aimlessly in the city with bunches of papers aboard. And whenever they receive a request for some lost journal, they immediately drive to this location and deliver this second paper. And this is a real application, okay? So speed of delivery is critical, and obviously requests are received continuously. For each request, we have obviously a location and arrival time of the request, and there's some kind of time window in the sense that there's really a target delivery time with respect to service quality. So if we ever deliver after this time window, then we get high penalty costs. And so this looks like a problem which is quite similar to a number of things that we had done before. And in fact, Francesco Ferrucci was doing his PhD dissertation at this time. He knew the stuff we had done before, what I just showed you, and he just decided to come and spend 4 months in Montreal with me, and we started working on an approach which had basically the core of the approach is that we're going to try to use the statistical information we have on requests for a second paper and transform this into dummy customers that need to be serviced at some time in the future. And we're going to be solving a vehicle routing problem with time windows using those, the real customers that we have, plus those dummy customers. And obviously, one big issue is that we need to update those dummy customers as we go by. And then we integrate this in the algorithm. And it turns out that we did a lot of analysis based on real data that we had. And so the outcome is, I would say, mixed. Is that there are situations where it's worth incorporating this statistical knowledge, and there are situations where it just doesn't really bring anything. And it depends really on, I would say, the patterns of demand. Okay, planning winter maintenance routes. I think this one I don't have yet. I don't have a slide, so I just need to talk over this. Okay, this comes from a project we did where the idea was to try to plan routes for vehicles that go on highways and spread salt on the highways when there are events of freezing rain. In fact, the project was started before that, it was supposed to be some project where we were trying to be exploiting information from weather information, short term, what is called nowcasting, with the planning of routes for snow plowing. And at some point, we realized that this didn't make any sense because of the different time scales. The nowcasting information is just information you have for the next few hours, and snow plowing operations are usually spread out on a longer period. So instead, we decided to focus on those freezing rain events and to really try. So the idea is, what you want is you want to send the vehicle at the right location just when the freezing rain starts, okay? Because it's much more effective. The salt that you're going to be spreading is going to be a lot more effective if it's spread just at the beginning of the freezing rain event. If you spread it too early, it's going to be blown away by the wind. If you wait too long, you already have a thick coat of ice, and it's going to be so-so. And so basically, we just derived a exact method and a heuristic to look at the static version of this problem. And then we derive some real-time method to really follow, really trying to follow the freezing rain events as they go. And we would also use some kind of weather predictions to try to have an idea of where the freezing rain event would be. But this is not a stochastic optimization method. It's based, we use the prediction, kind of a deterministic prediction, and we use the current information. Okay, e-market deliveries. So this was the dissertation topic of Nabila Z, who was co-supervised by Jean-Yves Potvin. And basically, what we were trying to achieve was to find an effective way of dispatching delivery vehicles from an e-supermarket. And so there's a fleet of M vehicles. Requests are received continuously, and for each request, we have a delivery location, and I think it should be written here. There's also some time window. And now the key thing here in this problem is perishability. And because of perishability, especially in summer, you want the routes to be fairly short. You don't want to have the vehicles driving around with lots of perishable food when it's maybe 90 degrees outside. So the routes must be short, and because of that, we end up with a situation where there must be several routes that are assigned to each vehicle to form a reasonable workday. So this is the basis of the so-called multi-trip vehicle routing problem. Okay, the objective function that we dealt with was really that there are often more requests than we can deal with. So it's really, the objective is to serve as many customers as possible, and within this, for a given number of customers, we're trying to minimize the driven distance. And we started by looking at a non-dynamic version. And here I'm talking about the heuristic. Is that first thing we did is we developed an exact solution method for this based on column generation. And then we developed for larger, but this is only able to deal with instances with something like maybe 30, 35 customers. And when you hit 40, it gets really difficult. So we developed some kind of adaptive large neighborhood search heuristic. And then we looked at the dynamic version by exploiting the heuristic, but again, only with the known request. However, what we did is we did something quite different from what we had before, is we wanted to have some assessment of the acceptance decisions that we were making. So whenever we get a request, you know, it's 10 o'clock in the morning, I get a request for something to be delivered, let's say in early afternoon. Well, if I accept it, I'm locked into this decision. And the question is this such a good idea? Suppose that this is a request which is located far away. Maybe I'm going to be very unhappy later on to be stuck with this request, but I will not be able to cancel it. So basically, what we did is we derive, we would look at a set of several solutions, which would be based on possible scenarios of future requests. So basically, we generate a whole family of scenarios of future requests, and we use this to evaluate the impact of current insertion decisions. Okay, obviously those scenarios must be based on some probabilistic knowledge, and they are updated as time passes. And we will accept new requests only if they are profitable. And built a simulator to test this. Unfortunately, we didn't have a real case. But if you compare the myopic approach, which is you accept if you can, with the non-myopic approach, well, you can see, just look at the number of customers that we are able to service per route and the profit figures. Well, obviously the CPU times are also much larger. So you have to have your computer working a lot more for you, but you end up being much more effective by having this kind of somewhat diffuse knowledge on future demands, which you use to make assessments on the acceptance decisions. Okay, just a few references to close. So a survey with some French and Colombian friends in Ecuador. If you allow me just to display some lack of humility, this paper received last year the Euro Award for Best Survey Paper. Then there's an excellent chapter by Bektas and friends in the Tottenvigo book, and also very nice survey by some Austrian friends. So if you're interested in the topic, strongly recommend that you look at those papers. Where are we going? Well, more and more real-time control of all those fleets. And also, one thing is that it's easier to get to really track down vehicles. And so that's for the real-time part. Then there's the statistical part. And the statistical part is just with the amount of data that we're able to collect and the analysis methods that are starting to be developed with big data, we believe that we should be able to really exploit this data to do better in those dispatching decisions. And in fact, I have a PhD student right now who's working on this specific topic, just the impact of big data on dynamic vehicle routing. And this is the end.
So, thank you very much for a very insightful talk on dynamic routing problems, formalizing the problems and also solution techniques. Are there any questions? And let's first of all go over the web. Over the phone connection.
I have a question. This is Dmitry Papageorgiou from ExxonMobil.
Hi, Dmitry.
Thank you for the nice talk. talk. I was very curious to see what 20 plus years of experience here, and it even took me to the CoinOR site where I was looking for software packages for doing taboo search and or vehicle routing, and I was surprised to only find two. And given all of the work you've had and the colleagues that you've been working with, do you have any other pointers to open source codes that have been doing this? Because all of the ideas of taboo search and exchanges, I'm surprised that there isn't more out there given the rapid interest now in what Uber and Lyft and all these other things as well.
Open source code is that we've not been, I would say if I look to the codes that we develop, we've not been really developing so much and distributing so much open source code. So that's a bit unfortunate. And I must confess that also, unfortunately, there are a number of the existing codes that have been probably lost due to the passing of generations of students. It's just we had the codes around for a while, and then eventually we lost track of them, or the implementation with old compilers and operating systems, and those things were not kept current. If you're looking at vehicle routing, there is a code that one of my former PhD students has developed. If you're looking at academic maybe implementation, he might be willing to share it. But the thing is complicated because now we're under negotiation for some for commercializing this software, so it's a bit delicate. I know that he has started to prepare some restricted open source version of this, and the best thing would be to drop me a line.
Thank you.
Other questions?
I'm very curious. You mentioned mostly taboo search as the sort of non-deterministic method. Have you done sort of a systematic comparison with other types of approaches, whether, you know, hand colony, genetic algorithms?
Okay. In this context, we did not. There's been a number of, if you're looking at static vehicle routing problems, there's been pretty systematic comparisons. And there's been, as I said, there's one of my former PhD students to develop a hybrid genetic approach to solve a wide variety of vehicle routing problems. And in those papers, you have extensive comparisons between different methods. There's also in the Tutt and Vigo book, there's a chapter on meta-heuristic approaches. I guess it's chapter 5 or 6, where there are, I think, extensive. I mean, I know that they have, in fact, they were supposed to perform comprehensive computational comparisons of methods on several benchmarks. So the name of the guy you want to remember is Vidal, V-I-D-A-L. If you just go on Google and you Google Vidal, you're going to find lots of interesting results because he was involved in this chapter in the Tutt and Vigo book. He has also a number of papers from his dissertation and after where you've got extensive computational results on many, many different types of static vehicle routing problems, but you could use them. You could use those things in kind of dynamic context. And in fact, I'm still working with him on trying to develop some kind of dynamic applications in the context of Rio de Janeiro. So.
Nice. There seems to be a lot of activity towards ALNS or adaptive memory programming.
Yeah, we have used ALNS. So, for example, in the ESSI project on multi-trip, we were using ALNS. There's been a whole Stefan Röpke and David Pissinger have had a number of papers on ALNS, but hybrid genetic approach dominates ALNS.
Any other questions?
Sure.
Yeah, sure. See you then.
Okay. So in Taboo Search, you mentioned you have this cross exchange operator, and that's, if I understand correctly, for the local sort of
a local search operator.
Okay. So in Taboo Search, once in a while, you end up having to make a large jump to a different sort of...
You do diversification.
Yeah. How does that work within what you have?
In that case, it's connected with the adaptive memory. Uh-huh. So basically, we do Taboo Search, and when we are unhappy with the current search thread,
right,
basically we reconstruct the solution using the adaptive memory. So there are a couple. There's one slide that says that it's not very complicated, but the idea really is you take elements from previously good solutions, routes from previously good solution. You sample from your pool of available of good routes, and you try to reconstruct a solution, and you restart the Taboo Search from there.
Okay.
And this is very effective. I mean, the adaptive memory idea is one of the nicest ideas that was proposed in meta heuristics. And 20 years later, I'm still asking myself, why didn't I think of that and let Eric Tayau do it?
Last question, maybe, Anirudh.
So you mentioned that travel times are always stochastic in the real world, but there has not been a lot of research done to really address that. So what, in your opinion, is the best way to, is the most tractable way to really model stochastic travel times and incorporate it in within computational approaches?
Okay. So, vehicle routing with stochastic travel times is one of my, I would say, favorite topics. And one of the issues has to do with the fact that travel times usually are correlated. And that's a big problem. What is the proper representation, and what is the type of inference that you can make about travel times if they are correlated? And this is pretty much an open question. If you look at the literature on stochastic vehicle routing, there's a lot of literature on vehicle routing with stochastic demands, but there's not much on vehicle routing with stochastic travel times. And it's pretty, I would say this is pretty much up for grabs. Anybody can come up with nice and insightful ideas about this will be a famous person.
Nice. I would like to give one last time the opportunity for people over the phone to possibly ask a question. Well, if not, then let's thank Professor Zandrot. Thank you very much. Beautiful for your insightful talk. All right. Excellent.
This is his talk on meta heuristics, and I'll give you my talk on stochastic. This was very, very, very.